Today I want to speak to you about the adrenaline of the Spirit. This is part two, a carryover from last Sunday when we began talking about understanding how faith works. The adrenaline of the Spirit is available to us as believers, and occasionally we must have something that is supernatural working in our life. And that's where faith increases, as we hear God's word and we're given strength beyond human understanding. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes. Faith does not run away from you. Faith does not hide from you. Faith comes to you. Faith is the adrenaline of the Spirit, and it comes to us one way, by hearing. Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The adrenaline of the Spirit, understanding how faith works. Now, the Message translation says, before you trust, you have to listen. And we talked last week about the parable of the sower sowing the word. And when Jesus began that parable, he said, listen. The King James says, hearken. And the Greek definition for that word, hearken, or listen, Jesus is saying, listen. I want you to hear something. In the Greek, it means listen and listen and listen until you gain understanding. Until you gain understanding. Hear the word of God. Hear it, hear it, hear it. Keep on hearing it until faith comes to you and you gain understanding of what God is saying to you. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. Jesus never said, he who hath an eye, let him see. But many times he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 33, Jesus was sharing parables, revelation truth to his followers. And that verse says, Jesus spoke his word to them as they were able to hear. Some things God already knows, in fact, all things he already knows, but he's not been able to share some things with me or with you because we're not ready to hear it. We're not able to hear it. But the more we're in the Word and the more we hear the Word, the greater our faith is. And it reaches a point to where when we have a great need, the adrenaline of the Spirit, faith that has been deposited into our heart over time, is there for us to withdraw and believe God, trust God to meet a need. Now, it's amazing how little some people know about the Bible. Now, it's foreign to me and to you, most of you, because if you were like me, you were raised in church, raised in Sunday school. I knew about Jonah and the whale and Noah and the ark, Abraham and Isaac. I knew all, even from boyhood. Some of you may not have been blessed to have that background. Most of you probably do at some level or another, but still, even people who've been in church or around Scripture all their life, it's still amazing how little some people know about the Bible, the Word of God. A few years ago, Jay Leno, and you may remember when he was host of The Tonight Show, every now and then he would go out on the sidewalks in L.A. and he would have a man on the street interview. And he would just walk up with a microphone to random men and women on the street and ask them questions and get their answers. And so one of these episodes, the man on the street interviews, Jay Leno asked a woman, can you name one of the Ten Commandments? And this woman said, freedom of speech. He asked a man, who in the Bible was eaten by a whale? And the man said, Pinocchio. That's funny to us church folk, isn't it, right? And he asked this young man, he said, complete this sentence from the Bible. Complete this sentence. He who is without sin, let him. And the man said, have a good time. It's amazing how little people know about God's word, and it's easy for religious people, and none of us are, but it's easy for church attending people to sit while the word goes forth. It's easy to, in the morning over your first cup of coffee, sitting at your dining table with the word of God open and you reading your morning devotion, to read or to read and not gain any understanding. Faith comes as we hear and hear God's word and gain understanding of what we hear him say. An unheard word from God is like food uneaten. An unheard word from God is like a love letter unopened. An unheard word from God is like a road map disregarded. And an unheard word from God is like gold that has never been discovered. The value of hearing the word of God. I'm talking about the adrenaline of the Spirit, understanding how faith works. Now, last week, we talked about the parable Lawrence just sang about, the parable of the sower sowing the word. And we talked about the seed, which is the word of God, and the soil the seed goes into. We talked about the seed and the soil. And Jesus began that parable by saying, if you can't understand this, you will never understand anything. Imagine a great teacher like Jesus, and of course, more than a teacher, more than a prophet, the Son of God, but the great teacher that he was began a message by saying, if you don't get this one, you'll never understand anything I ever say to you. That's how fundamental this revelation is, the seed and the soil. And we talked last week about the four types of soil. The first was wayside, like a farmer sowing seed, just casting seed on the ground. And one type of soil was the wayside. That's like throwing a seed out here in the asphalt parking lot. Nothing going to come of that seed. That kind of soil, when a seed falls to it, the word going toward our hearts, the sower sowing the word, when a seed or when the word of God falls by the wayside, The word never had a chance. I have said some phrases I don't like. I don't like phrases like the word never has a chance. But that's what it's like when the word of God comes to us and our heart is like asphalt. The soil of our heart is so hardened, the word never has a chance. The word goes in one ear and out the other. Jesus said the word, the seed that was sown, is devoured immediately. How many of us have gone to church services and not benefited a bit by the word? I always like to think, well, the word, nothing can stop it. It's an automatic return. It's a hundredfold all the time. No. When it falls on a hard heart, the word never has a chance. And then the second type of soil was stony ground, rocks and stones. Jesus said, when the word goes forth and lands on a heart that's stony ground, the person who hears the word receives it with gladness. I was raised Pentecostal. We receive the word with gladness. We showed off our gladness when we received the word. But sometimes it fell on stony ground, and even though the hearer received it with gladness, Jesus said there was no depth in the soil, and the sun came up the next morning and scorched the seed, and it withered away. Then the third kind of soil was thorny ground. Jesus said the word goes forth, and if it lands on thorny ground, the thorns grow up, and I don't like this phrase either, chokes the life out of the word. I like talking different than that. I like talking like, oh, the word of God is powerful and sharp and can't nothing stop it from what it's supposed to do. But thorns grow faster than the word if it falls on thorny soil. Chokes the life out of the word. Jesus said the word became unfruitful. I don't like that phrase a bit. The word becomes unfruitful. But then, finally, the best news. Jesus said, sometimes the word goes forth like a sower sowing seed in the ground, and the word will find itself falling into good soil. Jesus said, that soil is those who hear and gain understanding and accept the word. Jesus said, when the word falls on good ground, it yields a crop. It increased and produced 30-fold, 60-fold, and sometimes 100-fold return. Now here's the point today. The word is always the same. The difference is the condition of the soil. God is responsible for the quality of the seed. We are responsible for the condition of the soil. What is your heart condition? When the word comes toward you, do you even know it? Do you even hear it? Or does it fall on such a hardened heart that the word never has a chance? It's immediately devoured? Or, best case scenario, when the word comes toward you, is your heart open to accept it and agree with it and become one with it? And it increases your faith as you hear God speak his word, and it increases and produces in your life. God is responsible for the quality of the seed. It is his word, and his word is always good. We take responsibility for the condition of our heart. Well, I've got a bad heart, and I don't know what to do about it. Begin like David the psalmist prayed, create in me, O God, a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. I mentioned last week, fuel for the body is food. Without food, our body would not have strength. We would not have life very long without food for the body. And fuel for the spirit is faith. We would not have spiritual strength or spiritual life long at all if it were not for faith working. And faith comes to us, not as we see anything, but it comes to us as we hear and hear and keep on hearing until we gain understanding of the word of God we're hearing. Faith does for the believer what spinach does for Popeye. The adrenaline of the spirit. Woodrow Wilson said, I am sorry for men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of the strength and the wisdom it provides. Paul said in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I talked last week about our faith account. It's a lot like, of course, in the spiritual realm, what we would know in the natural as a bank account. I went down to Wells Fargo, opened up me a bank account many years ago. Deborah Poston, my sister, she has all the money. She's the main branch manager of Wells Fargo. So whenever I need money, I go see Deborah and she opens the vault. And I highly recommend Deborah being your banker. So you did too. We opened up a bank account. Now it takes a little bit to open. They won't let you go in there with a nickel and open up an account. Not worth their time. You have to have a minimum to open a bank account. Whether it's 100, 200. How much is it, Deborah? How much? Let's go open up some bank accounts tomorrow. For $25, you can get a key to the vault. My goodness, $25, all right, that's the minimum. So you take the minimum money and you open a bank account. Now, you got great plans for that bank account. You don't want that bank account to stay at 25. You want it to grow and increase. So you have to continue making deposits into the bank account. When you get paid, you make a deposit into your bank account. And then your balance, your bank balance increases. And then before the month is over, I promise you, you're going to need to spend some of it. You're going to have to pay your mortgage if you got one. You're going to have to pay your electric bill. And I believe you will want to do that one. Every month, Brenda and I have this conversation every single month. We've done it for decades. The electric bill will come in, and this is exactly verbatim. Every month we said this. Brenda will say to me, the electric bill this month was so much money, whatever. And I will always reply exactly, I think we ought to pay it, don't you? Believe me, that's one you will want to pay. And so as you withdraw from your bank account, from what has been deposited, you meet the needs you have. You may need to write a check or swipe your card to pay a car payment or insurance or groceries at the grocery store. I mean, all of this is activity in your bank account. You make deposits and then you withdraw when you need something. Not only when you need something, every now and then you'll just want something. And the Lord said he'll give you the desires of your heart, but look at your faith account. Now that's your bank account. You got to start with a minimum of $25 at Wells Fargo. 25. When it comes to your faith account, you have to start with a minimum. And God's word says that he has given to every man the measure of faith. That's enough to open up your account, right? You can open your account with the measure now. All of us began with the minimum. God gave it. He said, I want you to open up a faith account. Now, you can't do it with nothing. You got to have something to get that account started. So God said, I'm going to give to every man the measure of faith. So God opened our faith account for us. He deposited the minimum to get us going. The measure. We all get that in common. What we do with that measure. Now, if you open up a bank account at Wells Fargo in the morning for $25 and you never deposit anything or you never withdraw anything, you're going to still have about $25 years from now. An inactive account. Will they shut it down eventually? Shut it down. Wasting computer space up here. Same with your faith account. God starts us all. He opens up our faith account. He gives every one of us the measure of faith. That's enough to get us going spiritually. That's enough to believe God to be born again. That's enough to believe God, at least in the early stages of our spiritual development, that the Word of God is God speaking to us and it is truth and we can trust Him with it. What we do with the measure of faith, how do we increase our faith? By hearing the word. You listen and you listen and you keep on listening until you gain understanding of what God is saying to you. And then you have a need. Oh God, I have a crisis. I need you to redeem me, rescue me, deliver me. Check your faith account. I told you last week about a pastor friend of mine. His wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. This has been 15, 20 years ago. He lives in another state. And he told me after the fact, she had gone to the doctor, diagnosed with breast cancer, came home and said, I've got breast cancer. The tests have come back positive. And this pastor friend of mine said, let's don't pray right yet and ask God to heal you right now. We can trust him. We can trust him for that ultimately, but let's just hear the word for a while. Let's listen to some scriptures on healing. Let's add more faith to our faith account on healing by hearing God's word about healing. And then in the near future, after we have made more deposits into our faith account, then we'll pray and believe we receive. And they did exactly that. He said 2 weeks went by and they didn't really seriously ask. I mean, that's trusting God. You can trust God. But he knew the principle. Faith increases. It comes to us as we hear and gain understanding of God's word. And so they prayed and agreed, and she went back to the doctor, and they couldn't find a thing. She never needed surgery. She never needed chemo, radiation. Now, God doesn't always do that for everybody. I'm so grateful that we can trust him no matter what. This past week, I went and bought 5 lottery tickets. How many of you did? It's okay. Oh, wow. I mean, $1 billion. A billion. And so I bought five, only five, because I don't have a problem. I didn't have to go to Deborah and borrow money from the bank, whatever, for my lottery purchase. But then I got, you know, something got to stirring. You know, it was just natural, of course. It was just fun. And I thought, $1 billion, my God, how many zeros? I'd get tired of writing zeros. Well, $1 billion. I mean, what would I do? So I immediately, I mean, Brenda and Tiffany were the only ones that knew. And I said, don't tell a soul. If we win, do not tell a soul. Don't you get on Facebook telling everybody we won $1 billion. Rule number one, and I repeated it. Brenda said, you really think you know? I said, don't breathe it to anybody when we win. And then I thought quietly, and well, what would I do? And you're going to love this. I said, I'll make every member of Abundant Life Church a millionaire. I told you. Told you you'd like that one. Hey, I could do that and not miss it. Well, now, if I'm honest with myself, if I'm honest with myself, you're going to have to get honest with yourself. If I'm honest with myself, I spent $10 on five tickets. And if I would check my faith account, my heart rate, I didn't really think I was going to win. I mean, I wasn't convinced. I wasn't sure. It was just fun. Oh, I love the thought of it. But I didn't have the faith in my, I didn't have $1 billion worth of faith in my, I did not have a winning lottery ticket amount of faith in my account. I don't even know where to go get that. But I did have a lot of fun with it. All right, I'm going to close quickly, and I'm going to call this great praise and worship team back to let us worship with one more song as we dismiss early. We're getting out earlier than any church. I want you to get this on the street. Get the word out on the street. Abundant Life Church gets out before any other church. That we come in here ready, we hit it with all we've got, and we get it done, and we meet with God, and then we go home. Okay, praise and worship team, come on. Just come on up here. I'm not quite through, but as they come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, every word God will ever speak to you, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and that's for you women too, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How does that happen? How do we get to a place to where we as men and women or God are thoroughly equipped and complete? It's by receiving the word of God. All of the word given by inspiration of God. Listen, other books were given for our information, but the Bible is given for our transformation. You just can't be the same. And I'll say this, and then we'll worship and leave. Faith is the adrenaline of the Spirit. It comes to us as we gain understanding of the Word. But faith always requires not knowing how. Faith always requires not knowing when. And sometimes faith requires not even knowing what. God spoke to Abraham and he trusted what he heard God say. And God said, I want you to pack up everything you got and leave your homeland, and I want you to go there. And Abraham said, where is there? And God said, I'll show you when you're walking. Get up and leave. Abraham believed God and trusted him just that much, even though faith in Abraham required that he did not know how, he did not know when, and he didn't even know what or where he was going. Faith will never give you complete understanding of everything. If you ever reach full understanding of everything, faith is no longer needed in your life. One wise man told me one time, when my understanding runs out, my trust in God carries me the rest of the way. And then it's faith, it's believing God, it's trusting God, no matter what. Now, I have a gift, and it's not exclusive to me. You have been given the same measure I got. But I've said it before, and with all my heart, I'm convinced that it's true for me. This is my truth. I think it's yours too. I don't know what I will face for the rest of my life. God has always been good to me. There have been times we have lost certain things. There have been times I've had a lot of questions, always will. Faith does not answer every question for you, and faith does not answer you the way you ask sometimes. My mother died at age 51. For 22 months, we prayed and trusted God, prayed that she would be healed. But at age 51, she went to heaven. When Brenda and I lived in California, she was pregnant with a little boy. At 6 months pregnant, the baby boy in her womb died. His heart stopped beating in the womb. And her doctor told her that and scheduled surgery. They induced and she delivered a stillborn baby. We knew the baby was dead before she was induced and delivered. Oh, did I ever quit trusting God? No. I don't know what I will face, but I'll go on record saying I'm going to trust God no matter what. No matter what. Give me the worst case scenario. I mean, describe something the worst you can imagine. And if it falls on me, I'll say, God, I'm so grateful I have you to help me get through this. I couldn't do this without you, but with you, I can get through anything. Listen, your worst day with God is better than your best day without him. Stand with me if you will. Let's worship and praise the Lord before we leave.